Joining us now, I'm very pleased that he can make time for our audience. Always a pleasure to bring on Congressman Barry Moore from Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. Congressman, how are you doing today?
We're doing good, Jeff, and I appreciate you having us on as always.
Well, I appreciate you making time for us. Let's get right into it. First off, we were talking a little bit over the break. It's still kind of a gloomy situation in Washington, D.C. There's still the troops and the barbed wire and the fencing and all of that, right?
Yeah, we still have that. I actually had a lot of trouble getting in this morning myself. I'm amazed at the barricades around the Capitol building. So apparently they had an accident or something near one of them on New Jersey where I come in, so I had to go around a different way. But, yeah, it's just crazy. It's one of those things where the serpentina wire and the barriers and the chain link fence, it's not reminiscent of the Capitol that you and I grew up and recognized in our history books.
No, I mean, it obviously changed in a significant way after 9/11, but and now it does feel, it does seem different. Like, I haven't been up there since all of this, but it does seem much different than when I have been up there. Let's talk about some other things going on Capitol Hill. The ongoing COVID relief saga. Nancy Pelosi just giving a press conference there. Are Democrats, you think, probably going to get a lot of what they want with this? It does seem to be trending in that direction.
You know, probably in the House, we don't have, you know, we gained a lot of ground in the House in the elections, obviously, but we don't have quite the horsepower at that level to stop them yet. I feel like once it gets in the Senate, as close as the votes there are going to be and as tight as the margins are, I think we'll see some of the package shaved off and you know, they'll get it to a point that the senators, the Republican senators, will go along with it. But we still have a lot of unspent money right now. That's the biggest thing for me is from the prior stimulus package, there's still a lot of money that has not been spent that is held up in different areas. And so, you know, it's one of those things that's troubling, but what we can do is vote and speak our convictions, and hopefully the Senate will help us head some of it off.
And I was listening to Senator Tuberville yesterday doing an interview, and he's kind of conceded, well, the Democrats are in charge are going to get what they want, but and while all of this deficit spending and the debts are out of control, he says it's still kind of incumbent on the him and others in the Alabama delegation to really get what you can for Alabama. Do you find that to be the case?
Well, you know, I don't always look at it as get what I can for Alabama. In my perspective, it's what's best long-term for the nation and the state and the district. So sometimes it's a little different approach, but at the point, if we pass the stimulus, you know, that's going to be $17,000 per person if you total up what we spent so far. And American families sometimes get $1,200 or whatever they qualify for. It's just, it's troubling to think we're straddling them or strapping them, I should say, with $17,000 worth of individual debt. And the bureaucracy gets the money and they spend it however, and they send it to these programs. And the families, the taxpayers themselves, receive very little of it. So it's incumbent upon us to fight, to speak our convictions. And, you know, look long term, I think we have to plan for the next generation, not just the next election. And this is going to be something that we have to tackle as taxpayers, as a nation going forward.
Yeah. Well, a lot of drama on Capitol Hill, and we won't dwell on it too much, but obviously the Liz Cheney vote last night, and then this Marjorie Taylor Greene stuff going on. I don't know if you can walk and chew gum at the same time, but here we are in the first 100 days of the Biden presidency. And it just at face value, it seems to me that it's hard to deal with, particularly the Marjorie Taylor Greene stuff for Democrats, and then get all the goodness of government that Democrats talked about all during the campaign, get the ball rolling on that at the same time. I mean, what's kind of the vibe up there, you think?
Well, you know, the vibe is there's a lot of hypocrisy on the Hill, and to me it's been, you know, they talk about unity, and then their policies and the executive orders and the sort of things that Nancy Pelosi are doing to target Marjorie Taylor Greene. And just, it seems to me that they're driving the agenda, you know, based not really on the vote or the will of the American people or even the Republican minority in this case. As tight as the margins are, they're stepping on the gas and they're continuing to divide the country. And I think that's that's kind of how we feel right now. They're not looking to work across the aisle like they talk about, but they're looking to drive a far, far left agenda, far more left than probably what most of us imagined going into this thing with Biden being sworn in. I knew he would probably, you know, he'd be under a lot of pressure to cave to the left, but I didn't see it coming so rapidly.
Well, I tell you, they won the election. They're in charge. But the machine still goes on, and you know, with the green Congresswoman Green stuff, it's like we got to get another scalp. I just wonder what the ends are with the Democrats. I know you can't really speak for those guys, but at some point you have to look over there and say, like, what do you want? And is it just you really want to quell dissent, or what is it? That is this a power grab? What's going on there?
Well, I think they always need a villain. I mean, the left always needs somebody. And you know, the whole time they ran, they never talked about what Biden did in his 40-some-odd years on the Hill. What they talked about was how horrible Trump was, how terrible Trump is. We got to vote against Trump. And so now they really don't have an agenda, per se. They have zero leadership. And so it's just the next villain. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is just the target of the next. You know, I mean, let's face it, Eric Swalwell was sleeping with a Chinese spy, and he is on House Intel Committee, and he was in Congress at the time. And we're not even talking about removing him from the Intel Committee of all committees, while we're talking about something Marjorie Taylor Greene may or may not have done years ago on social media when she wasn't in Congress. And that just shows you the hypocrisy that is on the Hill that we're fighting. And so the whole time they've always needed a villain. It's Marjorie Taylor Greene this week. It's going to be Lauren Boebert next week. It's going to be Madison Cawthorn the following week. They're just going to target one of us after another. And it's like Benjamin Franklin said, we either all will hang together or we'll surely hang separately. And so as a party, we got to come together. I think you're going to see that. I think we're going to rally behind MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene today. And you know, we'll continue to fight. I just think we need justice in it, but it needs to be, there's a balance to justice, the scales, and we're just not seeing that up here. They're just trying to drive an agenda. They always need a villain, and she's the villain of the week.
And not to belabor the whole Marjorie Taylor Greene saga, but here's the concern, I would guess, that if Democrats start playing by these rules, Republicans will be in charge eventually. Would they be willing to start kicking members of the opposition party off of committees? You can point to any number of members. And you mentioned Eric Swalwell, but there's the squad. There's all the things some of those members have said in the past. Are you creating a new standard here? Is that something to be concerned about?
Yeah, and that's the problem, too. I mean, it's like Kevin McCarthy mentioned last night in the meeting. He said, they want to come after these people, but we were reminding them we're more than likely going to be in the majority in 2022. It sure looks that way. And so, they need to be careful what they wish for. But again, the people elected Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's not the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's position, to pick and choose who represents their district. And so it's just one of those things where we're going to continue to have to stand together, like I said. And we know it for what it is. I mean, like I said, they made Trump a villain for 4 years. And it's the villain of the week. They're so negative in a lot of ways, the left is in this country, that all they know is bad news and horrible news and that sort of thing. And they very rarely bring productive policies. And I don't think they can win on their policies. I think they know that. So they just have to attack all the time.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore of Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. We'll move on to some other things. I think this is a good news that you you landed positions on Ag and Veterans Affairs. Are you pretty happy with those two committee assignments?
Absolutely. That was kind of my wheelhouse. I kind of hope that's where I would end up. Obviously, I'm the only ag science major in D.C. from Alabama now. And being the only veteran from the Alabama delegation, I think that's two areas that I understand somewhat, but they represent my 2nd congressional district really, really well in our great state. So to be able to voice for the veterans, the concerns going forward on Veterans Affairs, and obviously ag's a big, big economic engine in our state and certainly in my district. So happy to be there. I look forward to serving in those capacities. And, hopefully we can do some great things for the district.
Yeah, we talked during the campaign, the district, very agriculture heavy. They say peanuts and propellers there in the 2nd congressional district. So that's got to be a shot in the arm for your constituents.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of text, a lot of people really, really excited. So we were pleased, well pleased with where we wound up. And like I said, it's part of just being that vox populi, the voice of the people, and Peanuts and Propellus. When you're on Veterans and Ag, that kind of lines up quite nicely, doesn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, and I think not just for your district, but I assume you work with the delegation within the state as well, so it could have some added benefits from everybody from one corner of the state to the other.
Absolutely, and that's part of the process of working with the delegation, some of the members that have been here a minute, and making sure we're doing what we can to represent the folks that we're sitting here to represent, and, of course, the great state of Alabama. There's Ag, and we love our military as well. So those are two areas I think we're well-suited, and hopefully we'll do a fine job.
Congressman, let's shift gears here to the pandemic. I don't know how the 2nd Congressional District is faring or what you're hearing there, but vaccinations are rolling out, and I guess a lot of this has fallen on the states to handle. But how are your constituents doing? What are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, I think everybody is well pleased so far. They're excited that the vaccines are coming out. There are a lot of people who are, I understand, are starting to get the vaccines, and so hopefully that'll allow us to open this economy. To me, that's my biggest concern going forward is opening the economy, doing it safely, obviously, but we've got to get Alabamians and people in this country back to work. You know, the stimulus $2 trillion is only a 1 month of GDP for our nation. So it's really there's no way to just fix it with government printing money. Production is the key to it. And so, hopefully we'll get the economy back up and going and get people back to work, get them out of their houses, get the kids into school. Let's get life back to normal as soon as possible.
Well, and there's a lot to that. I know Democrats want to do a lot more with COVID relief than just COVID relief, but you're talking about raising the minimum wage, the $15, and I don't know how realistic that is happening and making it through, but I would have to think that is certainly probably out of reach for a lot of your small businesses in a very somewhat rural district.
Absolutely. Raising the minimum wage will not fix the problems in the economy. If anything, it's going to increase strains on small business. And plus, it's going to cause layoffs. I mean, there's a young man working in a restaurant in the airport in Huntsville this past week, and I was talking to him. He said, and he understands they're struggling. And he says, if they raise the minimum wage, I'm going to lose my job. And so that is not the solution. It seems like the president and his policies right now and the left is really not about making America great or putting America back to work right now. It seems anything but what benefits Americans. And so with the pandemic, with the economy struggling through that process and starting to recover, to increase minimum wage right now would just basically create an inflationary market and cause increased unemployment. It's just not the thing we need to do right now. It's absolutely opposite of what we need to be doing.
And it furthers this trend toward automation, where if you go to a fast food restaurant, you're ordering off a kiosk. I mean, there's all these unintended consequences, and I think maybe that $15 an hour may work well among some of the coastal populations. It just seems like it's very short-sighted for the rest of the country.
Extremely short-sighted. And all of that, again, that if you do $15 minimum wage, your $3 hamburger goes to $4.50 or $5, so your dollar buys less. And it's an artificial inflation. Anytime we start government trying to get too much into the free markets, they always mess it up. They need to stay out of it. But it's one of those things where it seems to be that a lot of the Democrats, one of the things I noticed in my freshman class at orientation here was, when we got on economic issues, the Republicans were the ones all asking the questions and making the proposals and having ideas. It's because most of them have a business background. We kind of understand that. That's my background. And so, but none of the Democrats, new Democrats, were asking anything about private sector or business. And so it tells me that they need to listen to more of the private sector, some of these people that actually have real world experience in the economy.
Yeah, but they tend to shrug it off. But otherwise, I guess we're going to get stimulus checks. And I don't know how much is enough, but I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, probably so. And Jeff, I've been a proponent the whole time of just not taking any taxes out of wages, rather than sending somebody a check, because we need the labor force engaged in the economy. We have a vacuum right now for the labor market. And what happens is if you pay somebody to stay at home or send a stimulus check, then the restaurants and the businesses that need that labor force are not going to be able to entice them to come back to work. Now, if you said, hey, come back to work, and the government will not take any money out for a while, you'll work tax-free, then that creates both additional income for those families, and it creates a labor force for the for small private business and allows things to get back to normal. And once the economy recovers, of course, sales tax is going to start rolling back in. That helps your state and local government. So there is a reason to put people back to work, but it, sometimes the common sense approach doesn't always apply up here anyway.
Getting that incentive to work is so important. Congressman, you've been very gracious with your time. We do appreciate it. We'll have to do it again real soon.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Tell everybody back home we said hello. Tell Mike Ball when you talk to him today, I said hello.
I will do. That was Congressman Barry Moore.